item on the agenda is Ray Watson, Oyster Planting Ground Application 2008-049. Mr. Stagg.
I'm going to stay pretty close to the location CHIPS project, a little bit to the north.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, yep. Okay, now I've got on my chief engineer hat for the engineering surveying department presenting this project. This is a request to lease approximately 6 acres of Oyster, originally the application for 6 acres of Oyster ground, then the within Urbana Creek in the town of Urbana, which is in Middlesex County. The project was protested by numerous residents, both adjacent marinas, town, and a group called the Urbana Citizens Committee. We'll get into that in more detail subsequently. This is the Oyster Ground map that was formulated from Mr. Watson's application. The hatched area represents the general approximation of the area he applied for. You'll see some additional things here. As you recall, back in February, we did approve some additional reconfiguration of piers at this location, in this location, and some more here, which aren't shown on this drawing. Mr. Watson's marina basically begins here. This is currently a covered boathouse that goes right up to the adjacent marina, which also has a covered boathouse. The property line is basically in that area. And then comes down to this area. This depicts the old, well, this is where the old bridge used to be in Urbana that went across the river. And this is a depiction of basically what the old right-of-way would have been associated with that bridge structure and the road that comes down and just terminates here now. Obviously, there is no bridge structure there anymore. And basically, this also shows you sort of the fairway that's currently exists between the Mullins Marina and Mr. Watson's Marina here. A little closer view again of the area that was applied for. This line depicts, as you recall from February, the Turning Basin. It's a federal part of federal navigation project channel and Turning Basin. It's a remnant of when I guess southern states had a facility in this area and they used it to navigate large traffic and tugboats. The commission did permit some structures within this Turning Basin. The engineering surveying department has historically always not leased Oyster ground within federal project channels, and we are not going to recommend leasing into this, and we'll discuss that in a little more detail in a moment. Again, we did get the application on July 17th of 2008, and we went through our normal public interest review, and once that was done, we started receiving protest letters beginning around August the 12th. We got letters from numerous just citizens within the town. We got a letter from both adjoining marina operators here and here. We got a letter of opposition from the town itself. And we got a letter of opposition from the Urbana Citizens Committee, of which Mr. Buddy Weicker is the president. We surveyed the ground, figuring that we ought to go ahead and stake it, although it was already protested, so that people in the town, people protesting it, would see a general alignment of what was being proposed. I had the survey crew go out, and they basically surveyed an area that looks somewhat like this. This is a slight adaptation, which I'll come back to in a minute, but this would include part of the Turning Basin. When they submitted that to me, I reviewed it and determined that based on past policy, we did not lease in federal project channels or Turning Basins, and therefore this line represents basically excluding that area of the Turning Basin. Now, in the interim, after we received all the protests, I was in contact with Mr. Watson, and I was in contact with the primary protestants, the two marine operators, Mr. Weicker, who was president of the Urbana Citizens Committee, and the town. And first met with I received a drawing from Mr. Weicker, which indicated an alignment similar to the previous drawing you saw, that he, as representative of the committee, believed would be acceptable the people he represented and purported to also be agreeable to both marina operators and the town. I took that to Mr. Watson. We sat down and worked it out. I told Mr. Watson that, you know, we would not recommend leasing within the Turning Basin, which was included in the area that they said would be acceptable. And this is how we came up with this configuration that you currently see. This would keep it basically within the footprint of the current marina facility. And we did adjust some areas. We brought it in some here to lessen the impact to traffic going in and out of the marina to the north. We moved this line back slightly to increase the fairway area here, because this was the original stake out here that the surveyor set, and it went straight in here to this bulkhead. And the Mullins indicated that they had some concern if it was staked this way that this might interfere with boats going in and out. So we moved it back basically within sort of the footprint of Mr. Watson's. And this is the proposed configuration that he may eventually build that was approved by the commission, that the structures you see here. Again, we excluded this area. We made a little bit of a modification here. This constitutes 2.91 acres. Now, you should be aware that Mr. Watson currently already has a lease in this area. It's basically in this area right here. He got that lease soon after he bought the marina from the previous marina operator, who had a lease there that had been there historically for many, many years. Might even predate the marina itself. So Mr. Watson has a lease that he could do what he's proposing to do on right now, but just in that smaller footprint. What he is proposing, and in his application, we require all applicants to fill out a use questionnaire now as to how they plan to use the ground. Are they going to use traditional shelling? Do they propose to put structures on the bottom? If they do, what size? Or do they propose doing any kind of clam use of the ground? Mr. Watson indicated that he would use the ground for both traditional and structures, no more than 12 inches. Under our current regulations, if you have a lease, you can put structures up to no more than 12 inches off the bottom without any additional permit on a lease. So he could do that on his existing lease that's there now, that's a smaller footprint than this. He indicated yes on that. I've been to his site. He has built numerous cages already to be deployed. They're on site. He has material to build more. So he appears to fulfill the requirements of what we require, that he's going to use the ground for that purpose. I'll add that historically, as I said, there was a lease here. We have had people apply to lease at marina sites for many, many years. Historically, it was usually for protection. They were just trying to protect their rights under the marina from some other person coming in and trying to apply for lease ground. They felt that it gave them some extra protection. We do not, if someone tells me that now, I tell them that we will oppose leasing. The code specifically says oyster ground leases are only for the propagation of shellfish, no other purpose. However, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen an upsurge of aquaculture. We've seen some other marinas want to do this type thing within their footprint, whether it's cages on the bottom or upweller floats within slips they're not using that maybe are too small for current boats. They use the smaller slips for these. So we believe that, you know, this has changed sort of the use of potential use of leased ground within marinas. So again, Mr. Watson did indicate he was going to use this for that purpose, and we moved forward with accepting his application. I met with, like I said, Mr. Watson to get this configuration, went back and met with the primary protestants, the two marine operators, a representative of the town, and Mr. Weicker. And, you know, we believe that when I left that meeting, everyone was in agreement that this was an acceptable configuration here. Mr. Watson will probably ask to lease that area of the turning basin that was shown in the other drawing. This would be what we're recommending. Generally, that's, you can see some of the stakes. This is that number 39 stake that would be pulled back into here, so it wouldn't be right in this fairway. This may be what Mr. Watson, you know, indicates he'd like to have, based on the fact that you've already authorized structures out to the turning basin, and the Army Corps has as well. Engineering surveying, we'd still recommend not leasing, to be consistent with our policy of not leasing within federal project terms. This is his existing lease, which you can to indicate how old it is. Part of it's on land now, which I'm sure that area's been filled, which is a whole other issue we're not getting into today. But this would be the area he could use now. Mr. Watson has somewhat reluctantly agreed that if we go with the configuration that we are currently saying, which would be here, not here, that he'd be willing to abandon this little area, which would be outside his current application, but is an existing lease he already has, because that corner is probably more problematic than this one or the one we've proposed, because it's right out of it. And he would just agree to give up that little slip. It's like 1/100th of an acre. Here's just some general shots, thanks to Chip, who flies this area quite often. Again, we're talking about the lease starting here, basically following the footprint of the marina. It would, this is existing structures, not the new ones that would go out further, but it would come down, stay out of the turning basin, basically go around what's there and come in slightly inshore of the end of this boathouse and come back in on here. He's proposing to remove all this boathouse as part of his reconfiguration of the area. And just some different orientation, again, looking at it from the opposite direction. Again, this stake would be moved, if you approve the alignment that staff's recommending, into this, generally into this area, right, about right in here, come straight in this way. And one last view looking at it in that direction. Again, starting here, wrapping around, coming back into this area. Should note that should you approve this lease, the state will get $4.50 a year. That's $1.50 an acre. That's the going rate for leases. He's currently paying $3 a year for the existing lease that he has. We had some other concerns when we were reviewing this at the staff level that about growing shellfish within a marina footprint. And I contacted the health department. This area is currently condemned to the direct harvest of shellfish. So Mr. Watson could not grow shellfish here and directly harvest them for market. He does have other leased ground relatively nearby that's in clean waters, so he could relay the oysters from this site under a health department permit in cooperation with BMRC law enforcement. The other question that arose was, you know, is it appropriate to lease ground at a marina facility that has uses where there might be spills of gas and oil and other contaminants. I had a pretty extensive conversation with both Bob Kernenberg with the Health Department and Keith Skiles. They have actually looked into this issue. There are two sort of related issues. One, there are no standards for some of these materials even set on amounts that could be in shellfish, which is a little problematic. But the other issue is that they said the health department has actually done some of their own studies, the Department of Health, about this very issue. And if they have not determined in any shellfish they've sampled that they've detected levels that they believe would be a threat to human health at oysters grown at a facility similar to this one. So just so you know that. The compromise that we've reached, which would be this one, with the major protestants, does not necessarily represent a compromise that every person that wrote me a letter, because I got a bunch of letters from just individual citizens, and they were all notified of today's meeting, and they may or not be here. There was no way I could meet with every single citizen, but I did try to meet with the primary people, and this alignment is, I think, agreeable, unless someone's changed their mind since a week or two ago. That this would be acceptable.
Acceptable to them, but not acceptable to engineering survey.
Well, let me do my summary and recommendation. This is a little problematic because we sort of have a conflicted summary and recommendation. As the chief of engineering and surveying, we've historically have leases under marinas. And caveat that with the statements I said earlier. Before we leased, we didn't ask a lot of questions years and years ago. But in light of conflicting uses, we instituted this questionnaire, one thing, on all leases to find out what people are saying they're going to do because of aquaculture and other permits that are required if you're going to put structures on the bottom. You may get a habitat permit. It's more than 12 years. We've changed our regulations to reflect some of that. And that there are people with marinas like this who want to do aquaculture. And so we've sort of adapted our rules to that, that, you know, if they are a legitimate operation, we would certainly consider accepting an application and might support leasing it. And as the Chief of Engineering, I do support this configuration, but with some additional caveats that are in your summary and recommendation related to, you know, whether that's the commission policy, if that's where you want us to go. You want us to keep allowing this, or do you want to give us as staff some different direction? So what you might want to consider is the last couple of paragraphs of the summary and recommendation to look at potential future uses of this area. That there is a potential that the marina could be sold along with the upland, and the current leaseholder or the leaseholder, if you expand this lease, Mr. Watson, could retain the lease. And that could cause a potential conflict with the then marina operator and the leaseholder with conflicting uses. Maybe the new marina operator would not be comfortable with having someone else have a lease in that footprint. So another possible approach would be under the section of the code that allows the commission to issue a lease under the subaqueous part of the code, and you would determine whether that's appropriate. You determine what the amount would be. However, even if you did that, we believe that he would still need some additional permitting from the agency to put structures on the spot. So it comes down to, do you believe he's trying to gain some greater property interest in this than just a lease? And the conflicts it could present. And obviously that's worst case scenario. If this was sold and piecemealed out where someone different owned the marina than owned the lease. Mr. Watson, I believe, when he bought the marina, you know, wasn't initially aware there was a lease there, but once he found out, he purchased the lease, the existing lease that's already there. So that does show you that it can happen. But I believe this configuration should allay most of the protests of the people that have protested. It would be in alignment with engineering surveying's policy, not at least within turning basins, and would be in our historical policy of allowing leases under the marina. But if you want to take the other approach, then it may require some different type of lease under the subaqueous code. That's certainly up to you. And I'll try to answer those questions. Bob Brad may have to answer them because that's where we had a little conflict on how to recommend this one. And I'm sorry for sort of a dual recommendation on that. That's the way it is.
Mr. Robbins and Mr. Schick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for that presentation. My question, though, is specific to your summary and recommendation. The final paragraph speaks about the possibility of establishing an easement. And I would just ask, can you highlight some of those differences for us? What would that convey?
I'll defer that to Mr. Graham.
The real concern, and this is not to address what Mr. Watson may or may not do, in the past, people have obtained oyster ground leases as a way of speculating underwater real estate. I think the highway department's going to come through, marina's going to go in, and then basically it's a capitalistic system where even though you're paying $1.50, you know, an acre to the state, you know, the private upland developer may be willing to pay you $10,000 for the right to encroach on his or her lease. The fact is, when the commission leases an oyster ground, it's a chattel real, it's a property right. There's no way for the commission to rescind it. So if you issue the lease, he puts a trade on one day or shows that he's making a significant use, and that really depends on the size of the lease. There's no way for the commission to take the lease back and later on. And if in fact, you know, it's not connected to the upland sold, you know, they could certainly negotiate price of the lease, you know, with the new developer. So the question really from our standpoint is, do you want to do that to encourage shellfish propagation He has an existing lease which was transferred. Certainly, the acre 1.6, 1.9 acres that's there will accommodate a considerable amount of cage culture. You know, if in fact that's used to its capacity in 3 or 4 years, and he were to come back in and ask for an expansion, I think the commission could look at then a track record and decide whether or not to do it. I'm also not sure exactly how one accommodates placement and retrieval of cages in an area that the commission in February authorized almost full exploitation with piers. You know, it can certainly be done, but it becomes a little bit more of a problem. For a lease under 1208, it is renewable. I mean, the commission has the option of renewing it after 5 years and setting a price which may or may not be greater than $1.50 an acre. And so we're really, or at least I'm really raising from a habitat perspective, aside from the leasing which we've historically done for oyster propagation, is this necessary for aquaculture? Is it necessary for the entire footprint of the marina? I would certainly say if you don't lease it, you're not going to accept another application from Joe Smith, who comes in and wants to lease it. I mean, we're not under any obligation as the holder of the public trust to lease the grounds. But it just raises, and it bends at the end, policy questions, directional questions, notwithstanding what the commission has done historically, but how, or the staff, but how does the board want us to look at applications? Because people do, in the past, have bought it more as a property, under marinas, as a property interest. That will keep me from having to deal with a leaseholder if I want to expand my piers. If I want to do some dredging, I don't have to negotiate with that owner. But it's really something that I'd like to get some guidance from y'all as to how we should be proceeding in issues such as this.
Mr. Schick?
So you're saying that we can't give him a lease with the termination upon the sale of his marina?
I don't know of anything in the code, even if the applicant were to say, I'm willing to do it for 5 years, or I'm willing to caveat it. I don't know that the commission has any authority under the code to qualify, the lease. And I think it's, once the commission grants it, it is a chattel real, it's a property right now. As long as they make use of it within a 10-year period and pay their rent, I think it's automatically renewed. There's no way to rescind or nullify that lease.
I'll caveat that by it is a 10-year lease. But as he said, if he makes an effort under the code, then it's renewable. And also, that code is a little bit vague about how to do that.
I also have a question about when a marina gets permitted, they pay royalties to use state-owned bottom.
Correct.
Now, are you saying that somebody can come in and lease that bottom that they're already paying royalties on to use?
Well, in theory, I don't know that the commission would authorize someone else to apply for the area underneath Mr. Watson's marina. I mean, I think it's highly unlikely that we would recommend or that the commission would approve a lease to a third party in an area over which we granted proprietary right, for pier structure, because that merely invites conflict.
And if the marina owner decided he wanted to use that area to expand the marina through the permitting process, he would be charged the accelerated or the higher amount of the royalty based on the bold footprint that's being encroached upon, correct?
The only downside that I can see, quite frankly, is if he doesn't lease the entire area, doesn't want to use the existing lease, he doesn't qualify for the regulation that says you're a leaseholder, you can put the structure down. However, if you're the marina owner, and whether you want to do an upweller or you want to get a permit,
that was
put structures down, it's not going to be a problem because you're the
question. As the marina the owner, you could go and do these things through habitat management permits.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't qualify for the general permits and regulation, but I see no problem in doing that. So.
And I would add one thing that to reiterate what Bob said. Historically, and I don't believe pursuant to the code, we can put a permit condition on a lease. We've never leased ground with, you know, the plat doesn't have some additional set of criteria.
The code says what you can do.
These are special permit conditions.
The code says what you do with the lease.
Right.
Specific, and that's it.
Right, and that's it.
Let's do this. Seems like we're trying the case before we get the applicant. I want to hear the applicant's got to say under oath, and we'll maybe can make.
Well, sorry, but we had to.
No, that's perfect. No, not a problem. Mr. Holland, you have a question?
Can you leave the one highlighted in blue up there?
This one?
And that's what the applicant is now applying for. It's highlighted in blue.
That's my recommendation as engineering surveying. And it's not perfect because I did this on a photograph from the survey, but you can see some of the stakes that were set by the survey.
Pretty close.
Let's leave that up.
But that is a pretty good approximation of what we're talking about of the recommendation.
Mr. Watson, represented, present?
I would add that I believe the major protestants are all here except Mr. Mullins.
Okay.
He did send me an email. It came Saturday, saying that he and his wife could not be here. They were still in agreement with the configuration that this one or the expanded would include the turning basin. They just wanted to reiterate that, you know, they would not find acceptable changes that would interfere with access to the marina, which is the marina on the lower left of the photograph.
Okay.
But I think they're still, I took that to mean they're still in agreement with this configuration.
Okay, thank you. Thomas Watson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, BMRC staff.
As long as swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Proceed, please.
My name is Ray Watson. As stated, I've applied for additional oyster ground to go with my existing oyster lease, which is Watson 9559, containing 1.24 acres in Urbana Creek. I originally applied for approximately 6 acres. Application, as you see, 2008-049, which includes 1.424 acres. I've discussed with Mr. Ben Stagg of MRC on numerous occasions of the concern of the people in Urbana. The majority thought that I was putting up some kind of a fence or enclosure that would impede navigation, which was one thing that came through a lot of letters. The other was that they thought that the oyster leases, that you could not do oyster cage aquaculture in a marina simultaneously with a marina, which has been done quite a bit in Virginia and other states. The other was that because there are signs on the shore that say condemn the shellfish, that you cannot raise shellfish in a marina. Obviously, the BMRC has a relaying process, which if you take it to another location for 15 days, the shellfish can be processed and handled. I met with Mr. Stagg personally and talked to him about modifying the request to please my neighbors, which I agreed to do without any problem. Mr. Stagg met, as he stated, with the adjacent marina owners. In January of this year, the commission approved a plan subject to VMRC's recommendation for 08-1123 for the removal of existing docks and replacement with floating docks. Y'all issued a permit in February of 2009. Mr. Stagg has shown the recommendation of 2.91. He also showed me another modified drawing, actually sent me four. And, of course, we were trying to avoid coming to a hearing but to waste y'all's time, but we're here. What I would respectfully request, I'm trying to pull the drawing out, there it is, and I believe Mr. Stagg had put this up once already. This is showing, it shows the turning basin. It's everything that he has and includes the turning basin over the area that y'all approved for a permit in January of this year. So, point being that while I'm modifying my request down and I'm including the lease that I already have, I would respectfully request that turning basin area, which will be underneath of the floating docks. One of the the things that I guess I should state, it seems to be a question about what my intents are, what my goals are. I've invested a lot of time and money to implement my lifelong goals to do commercial aquaculture in Virginia waters. I currently own a second marina in Virginia, in Lancaster County. I brought the paperwork on that to show you if it's needed. I have 25 acres or over 25 acres of uplands, 13 tax parcels. I have a commercial marina there, and I'm the 100% owner of that. Interestingly enough, the marina is in a corporation, and the lease is the oyster lease, which I have. I have a current oyster lease in that area of 27 acres, which encompasses the marina and the surrounding waterway. It's in my name, personally. Okay. I also have 83.37 acres of lease ground, current active lease with VMRC, in front of Rosegill Farms on the Rappahannock River. It should be noted, though, that when we bought the marina, there was an existing lease in the marina in January 2007. The lease had been in existence for over 50 years. The property had transferred four or five times before we got there, and the oyster lease had never transferred. It wasn't a factor, but it appears that it's a factor now, a concern. The lease transferred to me in August of 2008 from the previous owner. I need to state, I'm not applying for, nor do I want, a water column lease. As you all know, I think Senator Boling proposed that legislation a few years back in Virginia. He's from Hanover County, which is where I'm from. The bottom line is, what I'm proposing to do is with oyster cages. I've already built 100 and some cages. I've already spent $50,000 or more on oyster cages right now. And I just approved the delivery of another truckload of wire yesterday to come in next week. I'm planning to do commercial aquaculture in cages within the guidelines. So I don't need a water column. I'm not asking for an adjustment to anything other than the normal lease. I'm a licensed waterman in Virginia, 2009. I'm a licensed oyster aquaculture product owner. I'm a licensed oyster aquaculture harvester. I'm a licensed crabber for both hard crab and feeler crabs. I have a shed tank license with VMRC. I ask that you approve the modified request for a total of 4.46 acres, which include the existing lease of 1.24, which I've agreed to modify and give up something that I don't have to. But I thank you, gentlemen. I also want to give special thanks to Mr. Stagg because he's worked very hard on this. I was just approved 2 weeks ago by Jim Wesson with VMRC for a grant from the state of Virginia for oyster aquaculture. I thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Watson from members of the commission? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just ask, do you specifically plan to use your cages on this lease and participate in a relay fishery? Or
yes,
do you use your cages on the other lease?
Excuse me?
Or are you planning on using your cages on one of the other leases?
I plan on using them both. I own another property in Lancaster County. But my intent is to use mechanization, which is electric cranes on boats, which I've already bought, to put the cages down in the water, right in the marina. Okay? And I also have a four-wheel drive crane, a galleon crane, that can be used as well. So, you know, I also have a 90-foot barge.
Thank you. Further questions? Mr. Schick.
In the area that you're talking about, just to clarify, how deep is the water?
7 to 10 feet.
So you're saying that you'll be able to put these cages on the bottom 2 foot above and still have five?
Not even two
plus.
Foot. These go down 12 inches. They go down. They're 12 inches off the bottom. That's it.
12 inches.
Yes, sir.
So and that way you would have 6 to 9 feet of water, plenty of room for both.
Cage weighs 500 pounds when it's got oysters in. And again, bring them up with an electric winch.
And as far as you're not going to have any type of buoy or anything coming to the top to mark them.
Don't need to. And with the pilings that I've got, all you got to do is run a long line right down the edge of the cage back to the piling and trace it right back down, pick up the first one, and just go go right there. No need for floats.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Watson. Is anyone here in opposition to this oyster plant? Yes, sir. Just long swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. My name is Buddy Weicker. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today on Mr. Watson's oyster planting ground application. As Mr. Watson's neighbors were able to unattend, which Mr. Stagg told you, I have a letter here also from the adjacent marina. Mr. and Ms. Mullins, in case you need this, I'd be glad.
I'd like to have it now.
All right.
Good.
And I also have...
Are there letters of objection?
No, these are not. These are the marina owners.
Right.
And I also have a list of every individual's home address, telephone numbers, in the Urbana Citizens Association, if you'd like to put that to record.
Yep. Let me read this into the record so maybe I can get some clarification. And it's a little off the facts, but anyway, we, John and Barbara Mullins, Thurston Properties, LLC, owners of Urbana Creek Marina at the bridge, are unable to attend the meeting Tuesday, April 28th, 2000. As per our understanding with the previous meeting with Mr. Stagg and others in Urbana, our position has not changed. Therefore, we authorize Mr. Franklin Weicker to represent us at the hearing. Mr. Stagg, before I go any further, what does that position mean?
Well, I don't know when that was written, but I know that,
yes,
I got an email from the same couple that basically reiterated that they were in agreement with the agreement we came to at the meeting. They were at the meeting.
Okay, that's fine. Proceed, sir.
They didn't want any change. If any changes were made, it might adversely affect them.
Proceed, Mr. Ward. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm also speaking for Mr. Dozier, who is here and can verify that I'm speaking for
him. The other marina.
Other marina operator, correct. The Urbana Citizens Committee, the list that I just gave you, consists of 210 families who not only live within the Urbana town limits, but also in the area surrounding the creek and the town, or they moor boats in the creek. So all of these members that you've got on that list are taxpaying citizens of the town and or of the county of Middlesex. Now, Mr. Watson submitted his application to grow oysters in Urbana Creek to you on July 17, 2008, as he stated. Since that time, you've received numerous letters from citizens, which we've already talked about, and many questions were raised by these letters, and I've only got three of them here, the main ones that came up. Could oysters really be grown in polluted waters? Which is not the biggest question. The second was it permissible to grow oysters under a marina? Nobody knew. These were just questions. When VMRC provided the footprint for the size and scope, the first one that they put up here, of Mr. Watson's request of oyster grounds permit, it was thought that the oyster grounds of that magnitude would definitely encroach on adjacent neighbors and perhaps on boat owners, and this raised more concern. These questions caused interested parties and a town official to meet for discussions and to learn more about the rules and regulations for growing oysters. It was then determined that objections could be limited to the size of the footprint for the growing of oysters. And Mr. Stagg was nice enough to meet with us. He presented us, presented to him a suggested footprint for Mr. Watson's oyster grounds. A final proposal from the Urbana Town Administrator, adjacent marina owners, and the Citizens Committee was given to Mr. Stagg on April 3, 2009. Now, this proposal brings us here today to this meeting. Now, as you know, Urbana, some of you, I hope you all know this, Urbana is the home of Virginia's official Oyster Festival, and on the first weekend of each November, And as late as 1940, the Urbana Oyster fleet was between 75 and 100 bateaux and log canoes. And sadly, the waters of the Urbana Creek are now polluted. The Urbana Town Council is making a concentrated effort to remedy this situation and is applying for a Tier 3 status. You're familiar with that. We now know that oysters can be grown in polluted waters. And to the creek's advantage, oysters give back as they serve as a filtration system. However, if you choose to approve Mr. Watson's application today, it is respectfully requested that you approve the growing of oysters only in the footprint that has been submitted to you by the VMRC staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weicker. Any questions, Mr. Weicker? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition to this matter? Matters before the commission. I'm sorry. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
I solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
My name is Janet Smith, and I'm a member of the town council of the town of Urbana. As Mr. Weicker said, we've applied for exceptional water status in town council. We provided a resolution to remove all pollutants of point source discharges out of Urbana Creek and have asked HRSD to provide us with the land use application system instead of the point source discharge into Urbana Creek. Because it is imperative that we have recovery of the waters in Urbana Creek, both for recreational and economic ability, we are in favor of having oysters in Urbana Creek. I would like you to limit it to the staff recommendation because of the activity that occurs in Urbana Creek, and we would like to continue that. So that's all I have to say, and I thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, Madam Councilwoman. Further questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a follow-up question for Bob Grab, if I may, just about the...
Mr. Grab.
The testimony we've heard goes to the fact that the applicant is proposing caged aquaculture at the site, and I would ask if the lease automatically conveys that ability, or if that is the appropriate permit, really, to do
the
caged
aquaculture. Existing regulation that authorizes cage structures no higher than 12 inches is predicated on the fact that you're a leaseholder. In other words, if it was vacant ground or you didn't lease it, the regulation doesn't apply. However, you can get a permit, whether it's 12 inches or 24 inches or whatever. You can get a permit to do the same activity, but you would not qualify for the regulation, or under the regulation.
All right, Mr. Fox.
Mr. Graham. Explain that again. So if no one is leasing the ground under these piers, and Mr. Watson wants to put structures on the bottom, he's allowed to do that?
Yeah, he'd have to get a permit.
He'd have to have a permit.
That.
But
he can do it.
Get a permit.
Yes. I mean, he's the only one that he would be impacting, and I don't think that staff would interpose any objection. We wouldn't authorize someone else.
Yeah, I think that was
right. To get a permit to do it in an area over the objections of the property owner, the marina owner.
All right. Now, would he also be able to obtain a permit for a floating upwell?
Certainly. And we there's cases like Coward's facility and others, possibly even New York River Yacht Haven, where we've authorized those activities.
Over unleased bottom?
Yes.
Okay. Now, my next question is, would we even be discussing this if a third party had come in and wanted to lease the bottom under at least the same parcel that Mr. Watson had applied for?
Probably not, because Ben's predecessor, Jerry Showalter, and probably Ben, would probably have accepted the application, but merely indicated that, you know, with the objection of the upland property owner of the marina, we would not have recommended.
Unless he appealed the decision to the commission, then he'd been here.
Yeah, well, they could have done that, but I can't imagine the commission authorized
we would.
The
lease.
Right. I wouldn't think that.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Dr. McConaughey?
Yeah, if we go the permit route, is that in perpetuity like the lease is? Or is that limited to a certain period of time?
Well, the permit, we've often said that the commission really ought to have, from a habitat perspective, a two-tiered instrument. You have a permit to construct and an authorization to occupy. In other words, our permits are 3 years, but that's generally 3 years in which you can undertake the construction, whether it's the marina or otherwise. But if you've gotten a lawful permit for that fill of that structure, you have what's called a compensable interest that you obtain. And if the commission were to, 15 years down the road, direct removal of those facilities, I think the commission could do that. I think the commission would be liable for compensation. But there's a mechanism if you opted to do that. I'm not aware of any mechanism once you grant a lease, short of failure to use it within a 10-year period and or failure to transfer it if the owner dies intestate and or fails to pay the rent. There's really, what I'm saying is once you grant it for $4.50 per year, you know, it's essentially property interest that you, public trust interest that you conveyed to a private individual, and those, that was really the policy question that I was raising.
Mr. Schick,
I have real concerns about leases, oyster leases, not being something that goes along with the use that's already there, and I think historically it's been a problem because the oyster leases were there usually before the marinas.
Correct.
Now we're getting to the point where some people want to lease after the marina has been built. And I think that this is a change of the way things are being done, and I think the policies need to change with them. And that's what I'm kind of getting as far as from you all is this potential conflict needs to be averted.
Well, my position, and it does differ slightly from Ben's, is your decision not to lease the ground and essentially set it aside doesn't preclude Mr. Watson from undertaking any of the activities that he's indicated he'd like to do. It wouldn't be by virtue of a lease, but it might be by virtue of a permit. But it's certainly not, you're not precluding anything. And to a certain extent, because there's an existing lease, he already has a right in the 1.92 acres.
And he's just adding a different
extra use. Level of protection and use.
He's just adding a different use by wanting to put, you know, by asking to put oyster grounds underneath, and instead of leasing by going through the permitting process.
He indicated that he acquired the lease by transfer, either at this one or another facility, and the property, the upland, had transferred four or five owners. We don't get involved in what the existing leaseholder is compensated for when you're transferring. I dare say in most cases it may be far exceed the $1.50 that they're paying the state. And there's just no nexus or connection between the lease and the upland. And even if Mr. Watson were to say, well, if I sell the upland to someone else, I'll automatically transfer it, or I'll give the lease back to the state. My concern only is that there's no mechanism for the commission to qualify or caveat it, and it's essentially gone, provided he meets the requirements.
Now, if we were to say,
Mr. Schick,
if we were to deny the lease, could we entertain a permit today?
Well, I don't know that you could entertain it. Yes, I mean we'd advertise it. But I can't imagine in the time that it would take us to act on that, that he fill up the existing lease with the cages and have no place to put them on. I don't foresee that to be an impediment.
He could go forward with what he has with his existing lease and then apply for permits for the rest of the area.
And he could get a permit to actually put cages in the entire area, which we would issue for $25 or $100, $100 for the. But he's already paid or will have paid an encroachment. So it's all within that footprint bold outline anyhow, so there wouldn't be an additional cost. But.
Further questions? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Fox.
I think in light of the fact that we would not consider leasing to a third party, that really it makes no sense for us to consider leasing the bottom to Mr. Watson. And he is certainly able to carry on the activities that he wants to carry on through the permitting process. So I'm inclined to deny his application for the additional ground. He has the existing acreage in he has that on a historical basis. I would not move to take that away from him, and I don't think we can anyway. So that's kind of my thinking on this.
Other comments?
That was a motion, I believe.
Okay, you second it?
I'll second it.
I mean, what did I make a motion? Okay, I'll make a motion to deny the additional acreage.
Motion made by Mr. Fox, second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion on the motion. Mr. Robbins and Mr. Tankard.
Just to follow up, it seems from a procedural standpoint, the leasehold's simply not necessary for the applicant to carry out the activities he wants to carry out. Specifically, they can be done by permit, and I think that would probably give the state a little bit more control over the situation. So I agree with Mr. Fox.
Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Schick.
As a follow-up comment, I just think years into the future we might have a leaseholder and a marine operator as two different individuals, and that I think is a potential problem for us, and I don't think we need to incur that potential problem.
Mr. Schick? They would, except for the fact they still have the right of appeal to the commission, even if we told them that. I do believe Carl's are correct.
Certainly, you can always come to the commission to push that.
Right. So this kind of sets a precedent, how a precedent changes to a policy is
it does depend upon who's sitting on the commission, right. Mr. Josephson.
And that gets into a couple of areas. You're talking about the regulation. I think before you take any steps in that direction, the Office of the Attorney General needs to look and see whether the code authorizes you to adopt any regulations along that line. The other thing is, and what was the other thing?
What were you talking about?
Fred Fisher said the best answer is there is no answer.
I did want to mention something. I want to pick up on another thing that you just said.
Can I interject something here that might jog your memory?
Sure.
From a staff level, I want to understand if you take this action, it's the motion is. Do you want me to still accept Oyster Grant? I mean, I think, I don't know, legally I can accept them under a marina and tell the person up front that it's unlikely staff will be able to support a Oyster Grant lease and that maybe they should just pursue a permit from the beginning, or I think the code says they can apply. I don't know there's anything in the code that denies them from applying underneath the lease if it's available area that could be used. And because is there going to be more of these? I might even already have one. Sorry.
I mean, I would like to see it strongly suggested that that would be staff's position. I don't know just by this one case that, you know, that we can do that or how, you know, what we would need
to do. I don't believe that. Go ahead, Mr. Justice.
Well, that's the second point that I wanted to address. The change of policy from what had occurred in the past in any particular agency needs to be well articulated and followed in the future. Otherwise, you're talking about potentially arbitrary, capricious decision. So if you want to change the policy, you need to, I think, clearly articulate, enunciate what the basis for that is. Then expect to adhere to it in the future, and even with change in membership, if the changing commission sometime in the future wants to change it, then they have to articulate why they want to change it.
I believe that the reason has been reasonably articulated and succinctly articulated. There's been some concern specifically that in granting a lease under a marina, that you would basically cloud title should there a transfer of property become available. And furthermore, the Commonwealth of Virginia does not want to be involved in that type of undertaking when you're talking about disposing of real property on the top side versus us being an arbiter at the end of what we basically control as a lease. So I think that's exactly, am I correct?
Yes, sir. I believe that's totally the case, exactly.
But I think you're absolutely correct. Even if staff takes that position and conveys that for bona fide applicants, there's no way for staff to deny it. They will have the recourse would be to bring them before the commission for the staff.
Anyone agreed can come to the commission. Okay. So that's it. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now,